Welcome, people of God. As we continue through this short period of lockdown, we remember we are still together, even when we are apart. For it is not our physical presence alone which makes us church. It is also the direction of the gaze of our hearts, souls, and minds. It is our common response to the call of the Christ to remain with him, to follow him, to know that as we are one in the Spirit, God has wrapped us and enfolded us in his eternal embrace. We are together, wherever we may be, even when we are apart. Wherever you may be, God be with you. At whatever time you are present, God be with you. In the presence of all the saints of God, God be with you. Through the fullness of this moment, by which God welcomes us, God be with you. In the company of your friends and family, or in the solitude of your own holy presence, God be with you. In quiet and in peace, in wonder and in storm, God be with you. In this moment, as in all moments, God be with you. And may you know you are in God and shall never be removed from God's holy presence. Amen. Today, a simple service is offered for you to listen with that will incorporate the prayers of the church, a communion reflection, the reading of scripture, and a short message. So let us pray together. God, we turn our attention to you, being reminded of the great promise you will not leave us nor abandon us. Trusting in this word, we seek to listen with open hearts and minds, to hear the words of faith and hope you speak with us. Your covenant is faithfulness. Your love is forever. Your hope is birthed in us. Your peace is sown on this earth. Your presence is welcome with host and guest. Today, we pray for all those giving care in the form of a warm bed and cooked food, in the tender word spoken, the gaze of love receiving us just as we are. In the form of those nursing the sick, bringing healing and wholeness. In the form of those providing transport with a gracious word. We pray for all those giving care in hospital wards and in medical practices. On the other end of the phone, when we make the phone call, in hope that someone will be there who will listen to our hurt or our needs. Someone coming to our aid when we cannot leave our homes, when we are incapacitated through illness and sickness. The faithful partner, the willing child, the concerned parent, the compassionate friend. We pray for those whose sole task is focused in the provision of health services in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. We pray for all those giving care that their strength would endure. Though their resources are tested and stretched, they would be sustained by a presence greater than theirs. That their own families and friends would exhibit gratefulness for the offering they bring. That their words be woven through with empathy. That they may know, although they are not called to save the world, their interactions with us matter, each and everyone. We pray for all those giving care, that it may mirror the care you have, compassionate Creator, for the life of your creation, the skies stretching from horizon to horizon, encompassing the earth, seas and fields, singing their songs of praise below. That it may mirror the care you have for humanity. Help and breath, hallowed in the form of the one whose life is given for all. We pray for all those giving care, compassionate Father, eternal Mother, that in the solidarity of your kingdom, their lives and ours would offer the balm of healing for a wounded, wandering, waiting people. Amen. Now an opportunity for us to share in communion together. And if you don't have the communion elements with you, perhaps you'd like to pause and go and prepare those. Well, here we are again. Okay, for South Australians, this is a relatively new and unusual experience. It's been more than 12 months since we were last unable to physically meet around this table of fellowship and welcome. Now, I stand in a building empty of all except for me. At first glance, it appears dim and without life. And yet all the chairs are still in place. I look around and I recall to my mind and my heart the people who regularly sit in them. Names and faces that are familiar and comforting. Names and faces of people who have gathered around this table for weeks and months and years, breaking bread, taking the cup of the covenant of new life. This table where we have offered prayers and resources, where we have lit candles and remembered. It is not a small thing, and it does require some work on our part, but we need to call to our minds and our hearts those with whom we regularly worship. And we remember that Jesus calls many to follow him. I become increasingly aware that the call to the eternal fellowship of God's kingdom is a call into the rhythms of forgiveness, hospitality, welcome and reconciliation, to live with brothers and sisters who are following Jesus, and yes, to live with those, even those who profess no faith. I am called to live in that same relationship with them too. This is one thing which draws and calls me, returns me to this table. Remember the fellowship of our Lord Jesus Christ is far beyond those of our immediate faith community. We are universally woven together by the Christ who calls for us to remember him. And if I am to remember him at all, I'm also to remember those who are part of his eternal fellowship. To remember I am part of an eternal fellowship made up of all sorts of people with whom I share rich and delightful conversation, and people who find me tedious and boring, and those with whom I must practice forgiveness again and again, and those with whom I must practice confession and repentance. I take this bread, and Jesus bids me to enter his kingdom and be embraced in his way. I take this cup, and am part of a covenant of new life stretching out beyond any visible or invisible boundaries which are in place. We take and we eat, believing, Lord Jesus Christ, that as you welcome us to this table of forgiveness and welcome, that the marrow of this feast will be established in our everyday words and actions, within and without. Christ our Lord, renew us and release us into your kingdom for the sake of your name and the presence of God's kingdom here on earth. Amen. And so we read again those words from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was handed over, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Take and eat, people of God, the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink, people of God, the cup of the new covenant in which we all share. Christ has lived. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Amen. Reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 35 to 39. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. As we make our way through this hopefully short time of lockdown, we are encouraged to continue making our journey on the path of discipleship, of being disciples of Jesus. One of the simplest and perhaps most defining activities of being a disciple of Jesus is staying in conversation with him, of being in this place of listening and growing in our learning and understanding, of being intrigued by this man who enters our lives through the peripheral gaze of minds and hearts and becomes the defining, revelatory light of God for us and with us. Two disciples are following John. For them, John has perhaps illuminated the kingdom of God and taught them the ways of God. John was fulfilling his role as a witness to the light. These two disciples may have been present when John was confronted by people who wanted to test him, to poke at him, to see what he was on about. They have seen John be tested and listened to his response. They have watched on as John baptized people in the Jordan. These two men, one of whom we find out is Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, they are already disciples of John. They already had someone who was helping them understand Scripture. They were listening and learning to him. They were being guided by him. And because they were there and listening on as John was faithful in witnessing, of testifying to the light in the world, they overhear John be unafraid to exclaim in their presence, "Look, here is the Lamb of God. Open your eyes and really see what's going on here." And without further exchange between these three men, the two disciples follow Jesus. At this point, Jesus has offered nothing in word or deed that would seemingly attract or call these two disciples to him. Unlike the other Gospels, there has been no call narrative whereby Jesus calls fishermen to follow him and become fishers of people. Instead, these one-time disciples of John take it upon themselves to follow Jesus simply because John exclaims, "Look, look, here is the Lamb of God." I read here an invitation to a new relationship, unlike any other relationship. An invitation to a new relationship which supersedes, exceeds, moves beyond any other relationship. We may follow the teaching of a favourite theologian or a favourite writer. We may follow the teaching even of a welcoming and trusted friend or even a favourite minister. But all of those people, if they are true to their vocation and calling, are grabbing our attention and directing our gaze towards the Lamb of God. And hopefully, because of and by their insight, wisdom, and guidance, we move on from them and move to follow the one who can teach us to be at home in the mystery, the wonder, and reality of God's sacrificial grace. We move on to follow Jesus, and we remain with him. Those simple words, "they remained with him," are more than just a side note. We remain with people in whose presence we are enlivened, engaged. People who nourish us with rich conversation. It is a beginning place for further revelation to occur. As we abide with Jesus, as we follow Jesus, as we listen to and observe the Lamb of God who comes to call other sheep into his fold. To remain with Jesus indicates there is a dynamic progression in the relationship. For the most part, we normally would not remain with people whom we find boring, dull, or tedious, or difficult, or insensitive, lacking in hope or grace, unless there is something uniquely attractive about them. To remain with Jesus suggests that for these two former disciples of John, they are hearing and seeing something in the quality and nature of Jesus that has so taken a hold of them, they simply refuse to move on. They have no need to move on. They left John not because he was boring, he was anything but boring. They left John to follow, to remain with Jesus, because they were hearing and responding to someone whose words they could trust. Remaining with Jesus is more than just hanging around him, hoping he may give you something, an insight, some understanding of a difficult text, or even forgiveness. Jesus may do all these things. But the invitation to remain with Jesus as a way of discipleship is grounded in the willingness to travel the journey with Jesus and learn his ways. To learn from him what is essential for this life. To learn Jesus' way of inclusion and welcome. To learn Jesus' pattern of prayer and table fellowship. To learn Jesus' rhythm of being with the Father and with the Spirit, and seeing how their union is a dynamic self-giving and receiving. To learn of Jesus' sense of identity as given by God, who is Father. To remain with Jesus is to learn Jesus' way, so that in time you would share what you have learned with others. Remaining with Jesus begins with the simple exchange we hear between Jesus and the two disciples. "What are you looking for?" asks Jesus. "Rabbi," the soon-to-be disciples respond, "where are you staying?" "Come and see," he answers. This question of "where are you staying" is more than just a curiosity about Jesus' geographical location, although that can never be dismissed. "Where are you staying" is also a question of "who are you? What are you on about? What is your business? And why is John the Baptizer calling you the Lamb of God?" In other words, "where are you staying" is as much about the who and why of Jesus as it is about where Jesus is going. And Jesus' answer is always invitation. Come and see. Come and see. I could give you a brief description of what I am on about. I could offer a manifesto. I could offer a nice brochure with some lovely words and some photos. I could give you my vision or mission statement. I can tell you about my values and the relationship I have with Father and Holy Spirit. I can tell you, or you can come and follow me. Come and watch and listen and see how it all takes shape together. Jesus is inviting these two disciples into a holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, and holy, H-O-L-Y, mystery. A holy and holy mystery that has to be lived to be understood. And to understand it, one must first come and see. One does not understand something from a distance. Simply, Jesus invites them into a relationship which begins with an afternoon of unfolding and unhurried conversation, and they remain with him. In a moment, I will close and offer a benediction. Once you have finished listening to this podcast, maybe you would receive the invitation to read again John chapter 1, verses 35 to 39. Read it slowly, allowing each word to be a prayer. Read it through once and pause for a moment. Be aware of your breathing. Allow your mind to settle. Read the passage once more, noting which word or phrase stays with you. Pray the simple offering. Lord, I am with you. You are with me. And listen for what may come next. Now, you may be in a place with others who are keen to focus elsewhere or are doing other activities. That's okay. Maybe you can find a quiet place to pray later. Or maybe you can just simply breathe in and out now. Lord, I am with you. You are with me. And simply ground yourself in this moment. You see, this is where remaining begins and continues. In the constant desire to be with Jesus, so that you may remain with him, to learn with him, because of or in spite of the current situation in which we find ourselves. As you can, take a moment. Read, pray, remain, listen. Lord, I am with you. You are with me. May the grace of God be ever present with you. May the Father's love ever surround you. May the Holy Spirit's power be within your breath and within your touch. May you remain this day with Jesus, who invites you. Come and see. Amen. Be with God.